It's Jeremy.
Thank you very much indeed. Good afternoon. And welcome to the Jeremy Vine Show, BBC Radio 2. Today, how on earth did a fake bomb from a training exercise get left in the toilets at Manchester United? Eurovision goes political. The song that won sounded very much like an attack on Russia by Ukraine. Plus, after one, looking forward to this, we're going to meet the man shocked by the death of three friends in their 50s into changing his own life so he can live to 91. And the Green leader, Natalie Bennett, is stepping down after a roller coaster ride. Can you give her party any advice? And good times on BBC Radio 2. It's Jeremy Vine here. Now, you're going to meet Phil Riley, a very successful radio industry guy who, in his 40s, ended up doing what many business people do, eating out every day, drinking heavily, avoiding the gym. And by his 50s, he had been a smoker, a heavy drinker, and he was clinically obese. Then, three of his colleagues, who were about the same age as him, died in a six-month period. And that was a wake-up call. The national life expectancy is 79, but his colleagues, who were well-educated, informed people with access to good health care, died with an average age of just 59. So what on earth was going on, he wondered. He thought, to balance it out, there must be a whole group of people living healthily into their 90s. And the question is, how do you move from the person who dies at 59 to the person who dies at 91? 2 years later, seven stone lighter, he has written a book called The Life of Riley about his personal journey. It's really interesting. He's not an expert, he's not a doctor, but he's telling it like it is for him. Good afternoon.
Afternoon, Jeremy.
And you're looking slim and well,
may I
say.
Thank you very much. Tall and slim.
So what motivated you to write the book?
Well, it was the fact that these friends of mine all died within 6 months of each other, and all around the same age as me. And you just suddenly think, well, what is it that's causing some people to die so young? And other people clearly can go on and on and on. And I started to just dig into the various lifestyle things that cause people to die young, and thought to myself, right, what can I do to avoid that lifestyle and that lifestyle and that lifestyle, and try and just improve all of those various aspects so to get me to the point where I'm in that group of people that can carry on to the bitter end, really.
And you tell a story in the book about how you're walking down a corridor and you think, there's a fat guy walking towards me, and then you realise it's a mirror.
Yeah, I do. That literally happened. I was just walking down in a hotel, long corridor, and I thought, God, there's a really fat bloke walking towards me there. And my eyesight isn't very good. And when I got closer, I thought, that really fat bloke is me. And I remember going on some scales, and I weighed over 20 stone at my heaviest, and it said 40% body fat. And I thought, what does that mean? And I sort of did a bit of calculation, and I realised it meant that I was walking around carrying effectively two suitcases full of fat every day. Literally, yeah, I just imagined myself holding these suitcases, and I thought, that can't be good for you. I've got to get rid of that. And that was part of the whole process, really.
So you divide people into five tribes.
I do.
Tell us who they are.
Well, the first tribe, small tribe, but heavy drinkers, heavy frequent drinkers. These are people who are drinking a lot most nights of the week. Many of them also smokers. And these are the people, by and large, who are dying first in their late 50s, early 60s. Then you have the rest of the smokers who are smoking but aren't drinking so heavily. And obviously they also suffer shortened life expectancy. Tribe three are people who are obese, not just overweight, but properly obese. And clearly that has a damaging effect on life expectancy. And then the largest group, sort of tribe four, are people that aren't doing any of those really bad things in tribes one, two and three. They're just not taking any physical activity. So they're heading to the couch when they get home. They're not thinking about going to the gym or going out and doing stuff. And they too are suffering shorter life expectancy than they need to, compared to the guys who are in tribe five, the live longest, who are managing to get all of that right. And the part of the book was to say, okay, well, we now know what tribe five looks like, and people can live to 90 and beyond if they're in tribe five. The question is, how can you get there efficiently and effectively and not make it so difficult that people would just give up doing it, really.
And in your book, you've got lots of graphs, and you've obviously gone into a lot of the research and so on, but you come up with some quite unusual things, and I was really struck by the idea that you think we should basically have a good breakfast and no lunch.
Yeah, you should have a very good breakfast. It keeps you going for most of the day, and then plan for dinner and skip lunch, because if you're constantly feeding yourself, what your body's not doing is having any chance to go, wow, I need a bit of energy, I haven't got any food inside me right now, so I need to go and raid my fat reserves. And that's the problem. And if you want to lose weight, you've got to occasionally get your body to go and raid the fat reserves, because otherwise they're going to stay there. So the trick is to eat well, but perhaps less frequently than we normally do. And certainly eating well is part of the thing in the book. It's not about going on crash diets and starving yourself. It's about eating the right food at the right time.
Are there any foods where you cannot believe how much you ate and for how long of whatever?
I just used to eat sweets and crisps and all of those bad
bread,
things.
People say bread is bad.
Bread
I can't bear
it. Bread is bad. Potatoes.
Really?
Well, they're okay occasionally, but I think that the danger is, I mean, I'm from Irish extraction, so eating potatoes all the time was part of my growing up. So trying to wean yourself away from some of those carbs, those big dinner carbs like pasta, rice, bread, you don't need to give them up altogether. But if you can 3-4 days a week avoid eating them, that's a real benefit.
Did you find it very difficult to give up alcohol?
I did. That was probably the most difficult thing. And I should say I've not given it up completely. I just don't drink Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday if I'm at home. If I'm out with friends, I'll have a glass of wine. But at home, I don't. And I used to. I can't remember a time before recently when I didn't open a bottle of wine a night and drink it. And once the bottle of wine is open, it's gone. My wife might have a glass, a small glass, but the rest of it would be mine. So I was drinking a bottle of wine a night, every night. And when I did the research for the book, I realised, actually, that's one of the things
that will head
you towards an early grave.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just thinking how many units that would be modern.
Well, about 70 units a week. 70, yeah. About 10 units in a bottle of wine, so at least 70 units a week.
So it's interesting because obviously we have got a lot of official advice on alcohol now, and is it 14 or 21?
Well, it was 21. It's now 14.
14 for men.
Yeah, I tend to sort of park that, really. And I think the really important thing, if you think you're drinking too much, is to have some nights off, because that's the thing that will give your liver the chance to recover, as opposed to sort of rather mealy-mouthy sort of adding up number of units of having only a couple of drinks every night. I think the trick is give yourself a break every week and a decent break.
The book is called The Life of Riley. It's Phil Riley's, basically, his adventure in sorting his own health out. It's really fascinating. There's loads of practical stuff. Love your calls, 0500-288-291. And I suppose, in a sense, this is in memory of the three guys who've gone.
Yeah. Bobby, David and Mike, of whom who were with me, you know, a very important part of my life. So, yeah, very, very tragic that their early deaths, but hopefully something good can come out of that.
All right, do stay with us. Do call us or email and speak direct to Phil. New record from Richard Ashcroft, Hold On. So we are with Phil Riley, who's found the secret, I guess. I don't know. You're looking good.
I'd like to think so.
And you're taller than me. You're 6 foot four,
I'm six
right?
foot five. Six
right.
foot five, and I now weigh 14 stone seven.
Okay.
And so I was well over 20 stone.
And on the famous BMI thing, that's
about
right
22
in the
and a half, which is a really good BMI number to be at. You can be a bit more than that, and it's not a problem. But 22 and a half, a lot of research says that's the ideal number. So I'm thrilled that I ended up there. I didn't plan to get that to that number, but that's where I am, yeah.
We were just talking in the record, and I was saying that while I was on Strictly, because I couldn't dance, I had to spend a lot of time with the dancer, Karen Clifton. And as a result of that, we were doing 2 hours in the morning, and then we were doing, after the show here, I'd do another, 3 till 10, another 7 hours. So 9 hours a day. And doing that 9 hours a day with her, 4 days a week, and I suddenly realised the level of exercise you need to do to make the weight fall off, and everything went. You know, I was skin and bones.
Yeah.
But I can't keep that up in my daily life. No, I can't do that.
And I don't think exercise is the answer to weight loss. Exercise is the thing that will keep you feeling healthier for longer. That's the real benefit from the exercise, is when you get into your 70s and your 80s, you'll be less prone to being ill, being taken to hospital or go to the doctor. You'll just feel healthier for longer. There was a study I talk about in the book, King's College. This was on cyclists, but it would be as true of people that walked regularly, where they looked at cyclists from their mid-50s to the mid-70s to see what the rate of decline was, and the amazing result was they couldn't find any decline. Cyclists in their late 70s were as fit as cyclists in their 50s. And the same will be true, I'm sure, of people that did other forms of exercise, such as walking every day, which is one of the secret... I mean, I claim it's a secret habit. It's not that secret. You go for a brisk walk every day, it'll do you wonders.
It's OK, so building exercise in, but diet crucial. Yeah. Carl Ward in Huddersfield. You've had the same experience as Phil, have you?
Yeah, hi there.
Hi. Fact,
hi, Carl.
He just beat me. I was going to write a book, but I've been...
So tell us, so you got to 60 and you had a shock, did you?
Yeah, I went to the doctors for a health check and was given a letter that said I was at serious risk of cardiovascular disease.
Okay.
I weighed 15 stone 4, I was unfit, and so that day I went out and bought a static bike. I rode the bike in front of the TV every evening watching news at 10. I cut out all the bad food, and as your guest has just been saying, I went on to a good breakfast, which is porridge.
Yeah,
with honey.
Porridge is it.
Yeah, usually at lunchtime then may have an orange and an apple and nothing else. I can't believe he said about not drinking 4 days a week. That's exactly what I did.
Right. You are the same people separated at birth here.
Yeah.
Carl, we'll have to co-author the next book.
Did you get down to your target weight then, Carl?
Well, what I did, Jeremy, I set a target. I wanted to weigh the same at 30 as I... Sorry, at 30, at 60 as what I was when I was 30.
Uh-huh.
So I set a target for my 60th birthday party, and I got down from 15 stone 4 to 12 stone 8.
Wow.
Which was just 4 pounds off my weight.
Well done.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That's almost exactly the same as me. I now weigh what I probably weighed in my late 20s, early 30s. And
yeah.
I realised when I wrote the book, at the end of it, after I'd done it all, I thought, who have I really written this for? And I realised I've written it for me, age 40. I'd actually written the book for the guy I was 15 years previously to say, for goodness sake, not get out of this, all these bad habits,
yeah.
Start doing the right thing, because
yeah.
it's never too late. But if you do it when you're 40, you'll get more benefit than if you do it when you're 50 or 55.
Yeah. I think it was important, though, that I had an objective and a target, and that's what drove me forward. I think a lot of people decide to lose weight, but they don't have an objective or a target for losing that weight.
Carl, you know, the thing I struggle with is chocolate hobnobs. I mean, do you have biscuits in the house?
Yes, but I have two teenage boys who are 19 and they eat all the biscuits.
So what happens if it's late at night, and this is the dangerous one, you had a meal at 7 o'clock or something, and it's 10 o'clock, you've watched the news at 10, you've done your bike, and you catch sight of the biscuit tin?
I usually will have a part apple or a part of a banana.
You're good.
This guy's been reading my book.
He's good.
He's reading my book. That's the answer. Have an apple after dinner.
Yeah, and I remember a friend telling me that in his 50s, a doctor said, look, it's a fork in the road now. You either sort it out or you're on a decline.
I think that's right, yeah. I think you either get a grip or accept the inevitable and sort of roll the dice and see what your genes say about how long you're going to live.
Pauline Charlie is in Norwich. Hi, Pauline.
Hello.
And you have got your 80s.
Yes, I'm 86 and my husband is 87. We've always eaten sensibly, and I think that is the answer. You must eat what's in your season, within reason. And as to having, a big breakfast, and I don't think that's right either. We have a small breakfast. We have our lunch at lunchtime, which gives our stomach and our body time to digest that and get rid of it, so it's not heavy on you when you go to sleep.
Yep.
Have a light meal in the evening. But you really, it's a long-term thing. it has to start back from before you're 50, and that's a problem. And these gentlemen, they've each said that they put on all this weight before they were 50.
Yeah, I put it on by the time I was 40. I mean, I just spent a decade running a media business and going out for dinner every night and entertaining people and drinking, and suddenly, especially I had three young kids, so again, at the weekend, you're looking after the kids and you're not, and you're sort of feeding yourself around them, and I suddenly found I was, you know, massively overweight.
But you sounds like you cracked it there, Pauline. So you don't smoke, do you, Pauline?
Pardon?
Do you smoke?
No. Yeah.
And drinking, how about that, you and your hubby?
Well, we have perhaps one glass of wine, but that's it. We haven't been with drinkers.
That sounds a bit heavy to me. And well, where are you on the whole sugar thing, Pauline? Because that's the big worry now is sugar.
Well, you see, we never did because we, you know, came through the war and we were on rations.
Yeah.
It was a good thing that helped our generation. And before that, our parents could only afford plain food, and it had to be what was in season, because then we weren't importing all the foods we're importing now.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much indeed, Pauline, and all the best to you and your husband. And it's I guess this generation, or, you know, 50-somethings, have got too much. That's another problem.
Well, I think, unlike the Pauline there, you know, we've grown up with this change in message from lots of people saying less fat, more carbohydrate. And I'm not sure that that's been the best, but I think it was wrong. And I think actually we need to go back to what Paula was saying, which is good food in season, meat, fish, vegetables, fantastic. That's what, you know, I eat most nights of the week, and it's great.
Thank you very much indeed. That's really interesting. Phil Riley is chairman of Orion Media, broadcaster. His book is called Life of Riley, and you can read about the five tribes, and hopefully you'll be in tribe five. That's where we want to be, isn't it?
Yeah.
Thank you, Phil.
Thank you.